You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are discussing the unfortunate Jordan Morris injury. We also discuss Chelsea, what is going on with them, what is their future on, and Christian Pulisic, will he be eventually a Bayern Munich player?
That's right. Plus, we talked to Tanner Tessman. Not only does he play for FC Dallas, he also plays for the men's national team. He's massive. We talked to him about his shoulders. We talked about how he's trying to help all the folks over in Texas and how some of the other clubs are doing it as well. Plus, we ask him, what are his plans for the future? That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes! Let's go. All right.
Come on.
Let's get another. Let's get one. Let's start the. Let's clock in. Let's begin our day.
Punch in, folks. Get in here. If you're late, let's go. Go to homeroom. Okay. Cool kid's about to start, baby.
You know, nobody. How come nobody told us having a TV show was like going to school? Damn, I got to get up early for this? Damn.
Nah, yo, this is not what I signed up for. Remember when I specifically said that noon is my 6 a.m.?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. It is. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived, has ever existed, has ever been blessed to this universe.
That's right. It's also the gulliest that's been blessed to this universe. I'm not sure that's ever been said before.
Okay. You know why? And we have all you got to do is donate, okay, for this for the blessings to come to you. Okay,
that's right. We're gonna send you a little bit of holy water, aka New York City tap water. You know what I mean?
Okay, or it just might just be melted snow. Okay,
you know, let's get it. There's a lot out there.
Enjoy. We have we're excited about today's show because we're gonna be joined by midfielder for FC Dallas.
And the Tanner men's national team.
Men's national team as well. Tanner Tessman. We'll talk about everything that he is doing. We'll talk about his rookie year. Everything he's doing to help people in Texas with you know, the current crisis. So
we're going to find out. How you get them shoulders, bruh?
which is it, though? Are you shoveling? What is going on? Why are you so strong, bro?
Damn, son. You walk on your hands to training? What you doing out there, boy? Why are you wearing shoulder pads out here?
You know, we're asking the questions the mainstream media won't.
Lamestream media.
So let's start today by discussing some news out of Europe. We're always very excited when our, you know, especially our U.S. men's national team players, just the American soccer player getting to
Thought you were going to talk about Jordan Morris. I'm like, you're excited. Horrific.
Yo, this
news.
This is how, look, I've been doing this for a couple months, all right? I've been learning. I've been watching those other sports shows, and I'm like, they really build to something.
And then they cut the commercial right before it. Okay. And they make it come back.
All right. Fubo's teaching me well, okay? I'm doing the online Fubo courses, and they're really paying off. Right?
Yeah. It's hard to find on the Fubo app, but it's in there.
So, yes, Jordan Morris, unfortunately, dealing with an absolutely devastating injury, an ACL injury. And this is the one thing, if you haven't seen the news, obviously, Jordan Morris on loan at Swansea. And, you know, this was going to be these couple months were going to be basically him getting his opportunity in Europe, getting Swansea back into the Premier League, and it was supposed to be great for everybody. It was great for the Sounders because maybe he comes back, maybe after the end of this loan, maybe he stays there for another year, maybe he's playing in the Premier League.
Yeah,
but now
this would have been, you know, everyone and us included, me probably more. You know, gave him a little bit of gruff when he decided not to go to Europe and decided to stay with Sounders. And this was that moment for him to say, like, all right, now I feel like I'm ready. And just unfortunate. And, you know, the news, the way the club spoke about it, it felt as if they really valued him at that already at the club, and how it's unfortunate that this happened because they did have at least in the form that we see him now, he had plans for the future. They had plans for the future for him, and it makes it almost even more devastating, you know, because he's out for the entire season, for the next season. Yeah. And then there's a recovery involved in that. And, you know, we've seen this before. You know, it's hard to come back from an ACL and be the same player. You know, I mentioned it on our watch along, you know, Hector Bellerin, I think he's a great player, but he hasn't been the same player that he was before the ACL tear. So who does he come back as, you know?
And then Jordan Morris already dealt with an ACL tear.
His other foot. His other knee, I mean.
Yeah. There's no ACL. Where is his foot? The ACL?
Where is it? Another elbow. I mean, this guy's tearing ACLs left and right.
No, so I actually, and that's the thing. I haven't confirmed that. I don't know which leg it is. I don't know if he re-injured the one that he recovered from, the one that he initially tore, or if it's the other leg. I mean, this is a thing, and I think the more that we've done this show and spoken to many players and spoken to players who have had ACL injuries, you don't want the second one, right? Because the first one is so mentally difficult and devastating, and to deal with it again, like, literally no one deserves that kind of, like, anguish, right? So, okay, I just got from our producer.
Right.
It's the same knee.
We've confirmed it.
It is the same knee. So this really, really, really sucks. And obviously we just wish him the best. I mean, we were wishing the best, obviously, the first time it happened. So it sucks to deal with this again, because the dream of playing in Europe was there. He got to, fulfill that. And the fact that it's cut this short is a real bummer.
It's a real shame. And when you look at something like we just reconfirmed. It's the other knee. All right, Christian, whichever producer you have in your ear is wrong.
Okay, we got a different guy, all right?
I got my own sources. Turns out it's his right knee. And the point I was going to make was, if it was the same knee, you know, this is happening in real time. If it was the same knee, you could say, like, all right, maybe the recovery wasn't probably. But I think it was Kyle Martino who was on our show. Someone was on our show and was talking about when you do in your one knee, you tend to injure the other one in the future because you've put so much more pressure on it. This is just the worst case scenario for Jordan Morris.
Yeah, there's something like psychological.
Wait a minute. Our producer said it wasn't either knee. It was his third knee. Oh, my God. How did he get three? No,
I'm joking. Oh, wait. Okay. Another producer saying it wasn't even Jordan Morris.
Jordan Morris doesn't exist? Who have we been rooting for?
Who won that MLS Cup? Oh, my God. Okay. So, we hear that often about, like, psychologically you don't put the same pressure on that knee that was injured, because you just, as much as you might even want to, you just don't do it because you're afraid of hurting it again, and then therefore you hurt the other knee. I mean, there's Florian Velo of the New York Red Bulls, same thing. Just like got injured, got the ACL injury, but come back. It was like third or fourth game of the season, and re-injures it again. Now he's back from the second one. And he had sent a message to Jordan Morris, just sending him his thoughts, because there's not many people that understand this exact scenario, but it's apparently. There's our friend Jordan Angeli, she talks about this too. I think she's, I don't know if she started or is a part of something called the ACL Club, where she had I think two ACL injuries, and I saw her talking about this on Marissa Pillow's show, who's been on our show,
Marissa, friend of the show, for sure.
Pillow Talk podcast, and she had mentioned of how just like emotionally and psychologically difficult.
Oh, this
it is
mental. Mentally is probably to that point is more to get over than the physical. You know, the physical part of it is something you can rehab. The mental part of this and trusting your body again, for athletes, it would be the same as comedians if we lost our voice or something. Or Christian couldn't use his hand in the puppet. I'm sorry. I try to say you have a puppet on stage. I couldn't even get it out without laughing at the thought of you being a puppet comedian. Yeah.
Look, when we get out of this quarantine, my act is going to be different. All right?
I couldn't even get it out without the thought of you in a suit jacket with a puppet just made my day.
God.
And Christian, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about What's going on over at Chelsea? Obviously, things aren't looking incredibly good for Christian Pulisic. But remember the excitement when this deal happened, right? $72, $73 million. We're like, yo, this is it. We good. They can't possibly not start him. You know what I mean?
I mean, it would be embarrassing, right? They, at least they don't want to upset the accountants, right?
Yeah, and here we are, okay? Christian Pulisic, supposedly, I don't know if they're saying he's injured or he's getting over something, but it's starting to look like he might not be at the top of Tuchel's plans. Maybe not. I mean, maybe he's involved in Tuchel's plans, but it's starting to look like he might not be at the top of that list. And now there's rumors that he might be going to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, this is the big surprise, right? After how many full seasons has he been there already? This would be his second, right? Or
this would be his one and a half. Yeah, second.
This is his second, right? So it is kind of crazy to already be hearing transfer news about Christian Pulisic. And then you also have to wonder if Chelsea does sell him, they're not selling him for less than what they got him for, right? They're not going to lose money.
Oh, no, I think they would.
You think they'd take a loss?
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't started him, he's not at the value you valued him at.
It would be a real shame. It would be a real shame because I would say, look, at last season, he did great. Wow, he got like 9 goals. He was absolutely lighting it up. He had that moment against
match, he scored a hat trick.
That was against like West Ham or something like that. Like the fact that he had these incredibly like great moments, and now second season in, we are not seeing the same. I don't want to say the same player because Chelsea have not been great. But when you,
I mean, Tuchel's undefeated.
Correct. But the fact that, when you think of who's going to take his place, let's say, Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, the other signings that were there. I mean, they don't play the same position, but you get the idea. Like, are you going to create a system that benefits Timo more or Christian Pulisic more? I would put my money on Christian Pulisic if I was the coach.
Of course. First of all, Timo Werner hasn't played well. Christian Pulisic has. Like, clearly, yeah. Christian Pulisic, I think, is built specifically to play, or at least more talented to play in the Premier League versus Timo Werner.
He's adapted to the Premier League better than Timo Werner has.
Without a doubt. I think Timo Werner came out and said, oh, my God, like, these guys are so fast. Even the defenders, every one of them are huge. Like,
I love, this was a quote from Timo Werner, and I love the way Alexis paraphrases it. Like, oh, these guys are fast. This is crazy.
That's what he meant. What's the quote? Hold on. His quote said, the players are 1.9 meters tall. Do real math.
Bro, what is that, like a city block? I don't know what you're talking about.
How many miles is that? Yeah, so the players are 1.9 meters tall, brutal physically and really fast, including the defenders.
The defenders have legs. I don't know what league were you playing in?
Well, he's like, Bundesliga, they don't even really defend. They just got a bunch of midfielders out there and a couple strikers. But I think what you're finding out is, the level of physicality in the Premier League is probably much, much higher than it is in Bundesliga. But you've got Timo Werner is jacked compared to Christian Pulisic. You figure he'd be able to handle this.
Yeah. And he hasn't adapted. Kai Havertz said the same thing. We're seeing like the German players.
You know who didn't say it? Christian Pulisic.
Christian Pulisic was like, I'm 150 pounds soaking wet, but I'm holding my own. All
right? Yeah, bro, I'm wet right now thinking about how I'm going to burn these players, dog. he was like a man's waste man. That's what he said about the defenders.
Think about how that looks if the American guy is in the Premier League saying, wow, these guys are tall. They're so strong. Everybody be like, these Yanks, they don't belong in this league and the whole thing. But the German guys can be intimidated and say all this stuff. And it's like, oh, well, they're having some tough time adapting, but they'll figure it out.
Oh, they came from a different league. The American says it and they're like, go play basketball, Mike. You ain't built for this, mate.
So there's definitely like this this benefit of the doubt. This like longer leash that American players do not have the luxury of having. But look, in my mind, we're taping this before the Champions League match, where I know Christian Pulisic will be playing in that game. But in my mind, the level of we've already seen the Chelsea resume for Christian Pulisic is better than any of the newer signings that came in.
Of course.
Afterwards, and I would argue like these new signings probably affected the chemistry with the team and with Christian Pulisic. But start the dude. Give him more opportunities. That's all. That's in my mind. That's gonna bring him back to his form.
I also think it's probably better for him to go to Bayern Munich. Why? Why go through the physicality of the Premier League? Why? You're gonna still play Champions League. You might even win. You ain't winning Champions League at Chelsea. You're definitely gonna win. You have a better chance of winning with Bayern. Bayern is a better club than Chelsea. I'd much rather see Christian Pulisic at Bayern, and it's a slightly easier league. So, get a little bit of relaxation and put all your eggs in the Champions League basket.
I would like to see him succeed at Chelsea rather than go to Bayern.
Who cares? Now, look, if he wants to go to Arsenal, different story, but who cares?
Tanner Tessman will be joining us right after the break, but we have to get real quick to these some more illustrious gifts, some unboxings, right?
Buddy, we love it.
We got the best fans. We got the best supporters, okay? People are... the brand Cooligans is ringing very loudly all over the world. And this is, Italy is already knows about the Cooligans.
Come on now, look at this, huh?
Look at this, because Roma coming through with the drip. Thank you for the scarves,
the shirts.
Absolutely gorgeous, And look, you love Serie A clubs signing American players. Bryan Reynolds is out there, all right? If you don't got an American player on your Serie A club... You don't be talking to us, okay?
You ain't even trying, dog. There's so many in Dallas just waiting to come over.
Okay, and they took one class of Italian in middle school, right? They know enough.
They like, I want a gelato. And they're like, this guy knows, he's ready.
Look, he got Duolingo. He good.
Right? Yeah. He ain't open it yet, but he's good. We also got this beautiful jersey. From yes. Edgewater Castle, which they did is this a collab or a commemorative kit?
I mean, it's a Black Lives Matter shirt with a collab with Black Fires. You see it on the sleeve.
Beautiful.
Black Fires is a supporters group for the Chicago Fire. Black supporters, very, very inclusive. But this is a really, really dope shirt. Thank you so much, Edgewater Castle. If you don't know, we've had Edgewater Castle on our podcast, and a club that is very much focused on basically it's comprised of a lot of immigrant players from immigrant and refugee players in the Chicago area, and great, great dudes.
Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful club. It's a beautiful project to be have been a part of in the sense of we've interviewed some of the players and the coaches, and to get a kit like this is amazing. And shouts to them for doing something with Black Lives Matter and making sure that message doesn't sort of go away. And I think that's super important.
Exactly. So thank you so much for all the gifts. If you want to send, I'm kidding.
just join. Look at the address scrolling below.
If you'd like to give us gifts? No. But we always have. Obviously, we're very grateful of all our supporters.
Absolutely.
And shouts to Gully Squad as well. If you'd like to be a member of Gully Squad, please, which is our supporters group with a really dope community, a dope Slack channel.
Speaking of, check out my For the Culture Ian Wright jersey or hoodie. Yeah, it's fire, right? And this came from Grego, who's a member of a Gully Squad. So that's join right. Gully Squad.
That's right. And For the Culture, which also a great podcast as well. So thank you everybody for showing love. Go to shoutstous.com if you'd like to join Gully Squad. We'll always welcome you. Okay.
Well, do it in the commercial, because right after that, hurry up, we got Tanner Tessman coming up. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in the word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. You being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now listening.
All of you. Yes, you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right. Thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We said we don't care about the quarantine. You know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, "Yo, thank you," and then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
Yeah, we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Right? Where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay, yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia. I might have to use points, but we gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've
decided.
Right. We here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, "Ooh, what do we got?"
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road. People sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine. People sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us, but also they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel, from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
there's
haven't.
A,
like,
there's a few. There's almost like, I think maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and Christian, our guest is finally here. We were so excited to have this dude on. I mean, it feels like just a list of accomplishments. What, a year ago, this guy's in an academy. Next thing you know, he's a pro player. He gets brought up to the senior team. Then he gets a call up to the U23s. Then he immediately gets a call up to the senior team. And then on top of that, he gets invited on our show. You know?
Yeah. Well, on top of that, he's also a hero who's trying to help the community to go, come back from a crisis. So
yeah,
the resume is already looking better than ours. That's kind of the main thing I'm seeing.
So if you're a fan of FC Dallas, if you're a fan of the men's national team, pull your car over and put your hands together for the one, the only Tanner Tessman, everybody.
Tanner, what's up, man? Guys?
How y'all doing?
We're not doing bad. Well. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I think we have to start with, obviously, you are in Dallas. You are Texas has dealt with, I mean, just one of the most challenging things that we're used to seeing just as Americans, right, when it comes to a natural disaster. And so how are you doing? How is the your teammates, your family, your community? Like, how are you guys dealing with everything right now?
You know, it's been tough seeing people. I know people that have been struggling with the cold weather. But today and yesterday, you would have never thought it snowed. It's clear roads, clear everything, clear skies. Great weather today in the 50s, in the low 60s. So it's great right now. But definitely tough to see some teammates like Jimmy Maurer. He was one that was putting on social media of him with his family in the living room. It was 30 degrees, and they were trying to make it through it. And it was fine because they had food. They had a fireplace. But there's other people that don't have those things. So it's tough for them. And So, you know, we try to do out what we can and help out. So, but I know people I know and my friends and family have been good during this time. So we're all good.
And what inspired you to start the GoFundMe, which I just checked earlier, it's at 23,000. So you guys matched your goal, if not exceeded it. What made you want to start that? And what was it from? It seems like a bunch of the players got together from a lot of the clubs in the Texas area. What made you guys want to do it?
Yeah. We saw Austin, I think, was the first to do it. And we talked as a team and the staff, and we were like, we could do the same thing. So put it together. And the guys did a great job putting it out there on social media. We reached a lot of people. We had, I think, over 200 people donate. So it's still going up today. So it's been great. And hopefully that money can be put to use and help out people. So it's a good thing.
Austin hasn't even fielded a team yet. They can't, they can't be the first to do it. We gotta do our own GoFundMe.
No, they have a big support though.
Yeah. But you got to compete even when it comes to charity. Like that's how competitive the Texas teams are with each
Where
other.
Where are we on the charity table? We're
So it's great to see we donated as well. We did a Twitch stream and a lot of people donated to it as well. So it was awesome to be able to contribute to that, especially just seeing I know you are a young professional player, but it's already great to see the impact that even at a young age that that soccer has on the community. Right.
Yeah. It's people have such big platforms to help out. So why not use them?
Yeah, all it's right. Great. Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of platforms, not only are you an amazing soccer player, but all of a sudden you're a podcaster too. What's going on here? You trying to get in our lane, bro?
We are. Yeah, it's been good, but we're nowhere near yet. So we're still working.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Chum Chat, right? It's yourself and it's another a professional player and just a friend of yours guys, right?
Yep. Correct. Yep. Chum Chat.
Okay. Very nice.
What's that? Did you have any experience in podcasting before, or was this something? I mean, this year has been probably difficult. The last calendar year has been difficult because you're either stuck at home, you got to find things to do. Has this been a product of quarantining? You're like, all right, I got to get into the media game.
We started it before quarantine. And we kind of got it going then. And then during quarantine, definitely we were seeing it as opportunities to get guys that weren't doing anything and had nothing to do but sit at home, like you said. So that was kind of when it was like we really took it serious. And then, we're in a break right now trying to get back to season 3. So we're excited for what's to come. So.
Okay.
Very nice.
The other thing I want to ask about, I mean, we have to talk about your career, and we have a little break coming up, but we should get started. I mean, you have just a fascinating trajectory, right? I mean, people expected you to be a college football star instead of a soccer star. You had different options, and I remember when I was watching, some of the regular season games for FC Dallas, I'm like, I wasn't even like, who's this kid? I'm like, who is this adult man, this veteran, this dude is a big dude.
Wow. I know they say they feed him a lot of milk in the South, but how much milk are y'all drinking, bro? You came in looking like you got a mortgage.
It's honestly crazy. I watched back the film and I'm like, wow, I look so much bigger than I think I am. Like out there on TV, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's just something like we're used to, you see soccer players, and for the most part, it's like maybe the goalkeepers kind of have your build, but not really anybody else. I see you're built like a goalkeeper, but you got, you have the technical ability of like a number 10, more of an attacker. What has been, so I'm curious about your style of play, but clearly this is your physique and physicality. I'm sure this is a thing that moves you up depth charts, right? Because people are like, yo, this dude got skill, but he's also a big dude as well.
Yeah, it's just about being a big presence in the midfield, and players do that with controlling the ball, controlling the field, but I do it as being an actual presence and trying to do the other things as well. So I definitely think it moves me up in the ranks, and it goes in my advantage to have that technical ability and be as big as I am.
I mean, are you kind of like a red car magnet, though? Because it seems like you look like you're wearing shoulder pads. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else bumps somebody off the ball. They're like, he's just going for the ball. You do it. They're like, he's trying to kill that young man.
Yeah, it was bad in the academy. Any tackle I go into, it was a foul, no matter what. And I used to get so frustrated because, I mean, it's clean tackles and they're giving me penalties. But in the MLS, it's not as bad because there are some guys that are strong and big. So I don't get as many fouls. But it definitely frustrates me sometimes.
You're the only player who likes VAR.
I was like, yeah, that's my homie over there. It is. What was the quick progression into from academy to first team to men's national team? Like, is it, you're like excited about getting that opportunity to play for the first team for FC Dallas, and then all of a sudden Berhalter's like, all right, that's it, you're ready. Was it ever intimidating, or are you like nervous about moving through this quickly, or is it just like, oh, you know, you almost surprise yourself, like, oh, I thought this level was going, like, I'm already at this level?
I definitely think it's the second one. Obviously, I can still improve and still get better and try to be on top of that level, but for me, it was always being confident in myself and believing that I could play at any level. And then it's just a matter of getting the opportunities to go and try to impress the people watching. And that's the goal. So, but yeah, it's definitely been, you know, no nerves, confident in myself and moving up. So.
Okay. Yeah. You love to see it. I mean, like, I wish I had this confidence. We are here with Tanner Tessman, midfielder for FC Dallas and the U.S. men's national team as well. Yeah. We should talk about that because that was a really cool moment. You got to play against Trinidad and Tobago. And on top of that, family in the stands, famous godfather Dabo Sweeney in the stand as well. The camera was on him often. What was that feeling like getting to play with the senior national team?
Oh, man, it was amazing. It was a dream come true, especially for my family to be there and support me. It was really special. It's something I'll remember forever. But no, it was a really good game. Obviously, we won. That was the biggest thing is to get the dub. And then just to play and get my debut was huge. And those group of guys, it was amazing. So it was a great experience.
Now, I mean, you had this experience. I think you were called up to the senior team for FC Dallas, like, what, February? Or at least that was your first start, right? February 20th, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah,
so
around there.
So we pretty much went into quarantine almost immediately after. So you've barely played in front of fans, but you've already played in front of your family for the national team? That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No fans in the stands is hard, but I mean, I'm glad they were just able to make it. You know, the game was in Florida, so they're a little bit more open, so it was good.
Yeah. I mean, when you find out that you're going from, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you were part of the U-20 World Cup setup, and then that ends up getting canceled. And the next thing you know, they're like, well, don't even worry about that. You're going to go play for the senior team against the team that knocked us out of the World Cup last time. Christian might have asked the question somewhat, but have you had those conversations with Greg Berhalter? Were you sort of aware that there was an opportunity for you to get called up, or was that a complete surprise for you?
I knew it was an opportunity. There was talks before the season had ended with FC Dallas that I was going to go to that camp, but we made it into playoffs farther. And then when they were having talk about the U23 camp, obviously I got invited for that. And then there was an opportunity to get held over. So, you know, just going and performing and doing my best, that was the goal, to get held over. And they gave insight when I got there, you know, you have a real chance to get held over and make your debut. And that's what I did. So it was a little bit, but definitely unexpected to be straight from the U20 straight to the men's national team. I wasn't expecting that. And I couldn't believe it, really. So.
Yeah. And how good does it feel, or at least, you know, I know definitely, look, I'm not a big college football fan, but I know how significant and how important it is, and how some of these programs, and you hear a program like Clemson, anybody saying no to that, I'm sure there were people that were like, yo, Tanner, what are you doing? You're making a mistake. Yeah. Well, how does it feel to get these accomplishments, especially at a young age, and to so quickly be able to tell people, like, and what? Say something now.
I could buy myself lunch. How's it going at college football, bro?
No, it's definitely it would have been a great experience to go to Clemson to play football and soccer. There would have been great, but it just wasn't for me. And now to have a quick turnaround, a lot of work goes into it, but it's a quick turnaround for the public, and it's been good. It's been what I hoped for. But you got to keep pushing. It's not over yet. There's a lot more to accomplish. So just got to keep pushing and striving for more.
Okay.
What is your goal? I mean, you've seen a lot of players. I mean, this seems to be the way to go if you're an FC Dallas player, is you might end up in Europe. And now you're getting all of these opportunities with the men's national team. Where's your head at when it comes to Europe? You know, you see someone like, unfortunately, like, you know, Jordan Morris go down with an injury. Are your agents calling Swansea like, hey, yo, fam, we got someone else that can fill the spot bigger than everybody else on your team? What are your thoughts on Europe? What has been your thoughts and what are your goals there?
I think Europe's always been the goal. To be in a top five league, playing for a team in the Champions League is the goal. And then when you get there, you set new goals. But, I think that's definitely the dream to get moved over there in the next year or two and see where that can take me. But for sure, I think being with the men's national team helps. And if I want to stay with the men's national team, I got to get to Europe. So that's the goal.
Okay, yeah, and it's also it's incredible to see what FC Dallas is doing, because the last couple years, the level of quality that of homegrown players that are that look, we've spoken about this a lot. FC Dallas is doing good business, right? They're pushing out high quality players that are playing all over the world.
They are Apple of soccer players at this point.
Yeah, the FC Dallas stocks are rising. but talk a little bit about that. That system. We've spoken to a couple of FC Dallas players, but the from your perspective and how clearly the system works and if the quality is there, you will make it into the first team. But being, with so many other homegrown players, or Paxton, Pepe, like, speaking of other tall dudes, what's up with Ricardo Pepe? He's also a big dude as well.
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
What's it like being, with all those other young guys and like that pressure that you may feel within MLS to show these other maybe veteran players and other veteran teams that you guys can keep up?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about our team and our culture is we have a bunch of young guys, and the older veterans on our team, they really embrace us and they really try to bring us along and play well together. And then we have our young guys that have known each other since a young age and been playing together for a while. So that connection is already there. And then even with our head coach, Lucci, who's been coaching the academy, he knows all of us and he sees potential in all of us. So working together as a group with the older people and the new guys coming in, we all have the same mindset and they embrace us and we embrace them and we try to move forward. So I think it's one of our strengths, have a young team that's hungry. So
did you purposely pick FC Dallas because you know they have the capabilities to develop young talent?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Who was it? Were you, cause you were raised in Birmingham, Alabama, right?
Right. I was raised in Birmingham. The only soccer we really had was in Atlanta. And at that time, all they had was an academy at Atlanta United, and they didn't offer housing. And then the year I decided to go to FC Dallas, that was when Atlanta United started. And I could have played for Atlanta United and gone with a bunch of guys I knew and knew well, and friends and family that lived there. But you see the production that FC Dallas has over the years with homegrowns and people going different places, the men's national team. So, I mean, and then you have Brandon Cervenia, who led the way. So, it's a tough decision not to go, so.
Yeah. No, it's great that even from, even younger kids that are like the fact that American soccer is in this place when, you know, FC Dallas is their academy is now you start to think about it on the level of like other German academies, other English academies where we're
Clairefontaine, where people all over France move to go there.
Where it's going to be like, we had mentioned this before. You, a kid growing up in Maine would be like, mom, dad, I think we need to go to Texas. We need to go to Dallas. Yeah.
Or some kid from the Bronx is like, yo, what's good? Dallas all day. You know, you're like, you sure you're from here, my G? You know?
Another cool thing is you got to, you took a penalty. You don't really see too many rookies taking penalties in the playoffs, especially. And you got to take one and make one. What was there a conversation about that? How did you feel being in that position? I know, you are, according to you, a Tanner, no nerves, Tessman. So I imagine it wasn't much of an issue.
I mean, yeah, I had to take one kind of because we were, I mean, we took eight PKs. So I was, I hope I'd be one of the best eight PK takers on this and the 11 on the field. So I, you know, I stepped up, put it in, really didn't have any nerves. Like you said, just confident. If I miss, oh, well, if I make it, that's what I came here to do. And we got the win. That was a night I'll never forget. That was amazing. That was a great experience with that team. And that really put us together. So I was, that was a phenomenal night.
Geez, is there anything you can't do? They're going to put you in goal next.
Oh, I hope not.
We're here with Tanner Tesman of FC Dallas and the men's national team. And we have our own supporters group. I know you guys got a bunch of supporters groups. You know, people do love our show, okay? And they're called Gully Squad. That's our crew. And we got some great questions. One of them is from Justin Freeberg. And I'm going to let Christian ask that because it's an important question. I'm going to ask Thomas Thornton's question, which is, ask Tanner the best place to get a slice in Dallas. I'm out here working for the Winter Storm Recovery, and I'm in need of a good food recommendations. So I'm going to just tell you right now, there is no good slices of pizza in Dallas. But Tanner, where do you suggest Thomas Thornton go grab a bite while he's out there working for the storm relief?
I would almost agree with you with that. There's no good pizza in Texas, but there's a pizza place right by the stadium called Pizzeria Testa, and that's where a bunch of guys go, and it's a pretty good spot. Movie theater right there, kind of in the Frisco Square, the lights and everything. So that's a pretty good place to go eat.
Very nice. All right, cool. I know Cane Rosso makes incredible wood fire pies, and they don't sell pizza by the slice. But if you're going to eat pizza in Dallas, just go to Cane Rosso.
Okay, yeah. Tanner, if you have any questions about food recommendations in Dallas, where Alexis has probably never been to, but he knows everybody connected in food.
We've been twice together. Don't you dare say that. But I do know a lot of pizza people in the world. Unfortunately, that's true. That's why I have high blood pressure. Anyway, next question for Tanner.
We did get a question from Justin Friedberg. He had asked, we sort of talked about this, but he said, how did your godfather react when you told him you were pursuing soccer instead of kicking for Clemson? And also, how did your dad become such good friends with Dabo to begin with?
I'll start with how my dad became good friends with him. They went to high school together, and they kind of stayed in touch all throughout, and they were best friends growing up, went to college, and they were still kept in touch. And then my mom's brother is married to Dabo's wife's sister. So we have a relationship. So his kids are my second cousins. And then they just been best friends ever since. And now my dad works for him. So they're just best friends. And then, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, but seeing him at the game, I mean, it was like literally fun. If he could have held an iPad up to record you playing, he would have. Yeah. You know, he was so
I'm
proud.
Surprised he didn't get the Clemson media crew down there to film you. What a proud! My mother's never. I've been performing stand up for over 10 years. My mother's never seen me perform once. You got your godfather to film you playing?
Oh, it was funny. Beautiful.
yeah, I couldn't believe that he was there and had a great support system. But then, what was the other part of the question? It was
how did he react when you said you didn't want to play football, college football?
Right. So, I mean, he was trying to do everything to get me to come. I went on one official visit, maybe three unofficials, and every time it was, you know, you could do this, and there's these opportunities, and all of sitting in his office telling me all this stuff, and then when I told him, I was like, look, I'm signing professional. You know, he tried to call me like five times. I was signing the contract, doing stuff. And then he texted me this long text message saying, you know, you can do this and the opportunities. And I'm like, I get that. And at the time I was reading this book called Chase Your Lion. And it's about chasing your dreams and you know, just pursuing what you want to pursue in life. And I just texted him back. I said, chasing my lion. And that was it. So, and then he, you know, he respects my decision. He, you know, he supports me like you saw at the game. He's happy for me. And even if I wasn't with the men's national team, even if I wasn't playing for FC Dallas, if I was playing with North Texas or not playing at all, he would be just as proud. So it's been a great experience, though, and it's been a great decision. So
After you sent him that text, his next phone call was to ban that book from Clemson University. He's like, we don't want anyone reading this damn book. We need play.
It's just it's so funny. Look, every step of the way, he just keeps emailing you a PDF of you know the agreement to play for Clemson. So that is again, really dope. Just because it's great to see the belief in yourself. Like it takes a lot of courage to say, especially growing up in Alabama, where soccer is not really like super prevalent or really just everywhere. To say like, no, I believe in myself and I think I can do this. Where did that belief and that dream come from? Because I know like I enjoy soccer because I play like FIFA and I'm like, I would be great to be in the game one day or something like that. But what propelled that, especially coming from like not a traditional kind of soccer community or background?
I mean, for one, it was my parents, my family. They always believed in me. They did anything I could to get better games, to get better friends, better teams to play on. They did whatever they could. We were traveling all over the Southeast to get in games and tournaments. And then I think it was also the group of friends I was around, that Alabama group that is that Chris Richards, that Brennan Cervenia, other guys that David Rona at Wake Forest, Brooks Rice, Clay Holstead. There's a bunch of guys that have now been in D1 and before that it wasn't a thing. And I think just being in that group of guys, of all of us knowing that, man, we want to change Alabama soccer. We want to go play across the world, across the country, and just being around those guys every day, focused on that, and then going to tournaments with them, playing. So I think that was kind of how it developed. Whereas other guys, they get basketball, football, and soccer's not a thing in Alabama. So.
Yeah. Are you getting texts from Chris Richards being like, yo, Germany kind of lit? Look, there's no fried Oreos, but it's kind of lit. I feel like you do well out here.
Yeah, man. I mean, Chris has done amazing. Now he's at Hoffenheim. He's got a lot of potential coming up. So, but yeah, definitely keep in touch with him. He's a great guy. So.
No, nice. You talk about changing or making a stamp, especially with Alabama soccer. But you guys are gonna you're gonna change American soccer overall, because I mean, you think of Chris Richards playing in Germany, but also one thing I think of, especially the fact that you know him and play together. How difficult was it? How much did you have to convince people that you were not a center back? You had to. They must have been like, no, I trust me, I'm in the right position.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to move me back when I was playing with FC Dallas. I played every position, and they put me at center back, and they saw potential there. And I was like, no, I want to score goals. So they were like, all right. So they put me at nine, and I scored two goals. And I'm like, exactly. I'm going to be in the attack. I want to play in the midfield at least. In North Texas, I debuted as a nine. I mean, so I've been playing everywhere for FC Dallas. But yeah, they've tried to put me at center back, and Chris. He says the same thing, since center back's easy, all you gotta do is keep a clean sheet. I want to have fun. I want to get on the ball, go score some goals.
Totally fair. All right.
Like, why is that center back running forward every time? Like, I told you not to put me back there.
Thank you so much, Tanner Tessman of FC Dallas, for joining us. Absolutely crushed it. Honestly, y'all, talking to Tanner makes me believe in myself a little bit more. I'll be honest.
Right?
Okay? You know? He's like a motivational speaker. Tanner, is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
Yeah, I want y'all to know, go donate to the GoFundMe. You can find it on the FC Dallas website. And then hit me up on the socials. Follow me on FriendTamJam5 on all platforms. And then check out my podcast. I know y'all are watching the Cooligans, but we do something else at Chum Chat. Follow us on Instagram or Snapchat, Twitter at chum.chat. Check us out. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. So hit us up, but we would be really appreciated. So.
Amazing. No. All right. Support this man's work. Make sure, and for us, make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. All right, Tanner, it's goal celebration GIF time. What do you want your goal celebration GIF to be?
So this is your men's national team. You get brought in the 80th minute, and you now just scored to get the U.S. to qualify for the World Cup. What is your GIF?
I'll probably go.
Boom. Okay. That'd be it. You love it. Salute. Okay. Salute to all the haters who wanted me to play college football.
That's right? Actually like, yo, you got to be this tall to score a goal that good. That's what that is.
That's funny.
All right. Thank you again, Tanner Tessman, for joining us. Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Tanner Tessman, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!